96.3 WHUR and HUR Voices, Sirius XM, Channel 141. This is the Insight segment. Your questions or comments, toll free at 855-288-4876. Now, Insight.
Welcome back to the Daily Drum on WHUR and Sirius XM, Channel 141. This is the Insight segment. I'm Harold Fisher.
It has become commonplace in Ferguson for officers to charge multiple violations for the same conduct. Three or four charges for a single stop is considered fairly routine. Some officers even compete to see who can issue the largest number of citations during a single stop.
That is U.S. Attorney General Eric Holder. He said today that an investigation into the Ferguson, Missouri Police Department found widespread racial bias. The ear-peeling revelations come from a long-awaited DOJ report. That report prompted by the killing of unarmed black teenager Michael Brown on August 9th by a white Ferguson police officer, Darren Wilson. Now, we are going in depth tonight with this issue, and my guests are criminal defense attorney A. Scott Bolden and Washington Times columnist Deborah Simmons. Lines are open. What do you think about what was released today from the DOJ? Lines are open. Give us a call at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810, outside of the D.C. calling area, 855-288-4876, 855-288-4876. You can certainly also comment on my Facebook page at facebook.com/HaroldTFisher or follow me on Twitter at HFisherWHUR. Thank you both for joining me. I appreciate it.
Thank you for having us.
Okay, Deborah, your thoughts about what the Attorney General released today, this DOJ report. There were two pieces, actually. Of course, he announced that there would be no charges against Officer Darren Wilson, but then the separate piece was the police report.
And it's startling. It really is. And I'm going to go directly to he numbers them for sure, which is a good and easy thing, even if you're only 10 or 12 years old, mm-hmm. trying to read what the Attorney General said and why. I'm going to go directly to number two, which says people question mark. More like, quote, sources of revenue, quote. And that goes directly to what the lead-in said, because it seems like, and the Department of Justice lays out, that there were multiple charges and citations against these folks because they were using the residents of Ferguson as a source of revenue. We know it goes on here in the district, parking tickets.
Right.
You can drive by a car sometimes and it'll have 6, 8, 10 tickets. It's obvious the car ain't moved. Ain't nobody looked in it to see whether a dead body was in it. Because what the city wants from that, red light, speeding cameras and that those sorts of things, they say it's always for quote-unquote public safety, which I'm sure these officers in Ferguson said to some of the folks that they pulled over and cited, but it's to generate money, mm-hmm. particularly when you find out that 80% of the police department don't even live in Ferguson.
But also the other piece of that is, and you said 80%, I thought you were going to talk about the people who were directly affected by this. These are 80% of the people that are affected by this are all African Americans. Having been to Ferguson, Missouri, a very, very small place, I can tell you that unlike the District of Columbia and other nearby jurisdictions, there are no red light cameras as we know them here. And here, red light cameras, for example, or parking tickets, if there's no one in the car, you can't tell race or gender when these violations are issued. But these were traffic stops because based on this report by the DOJ, looking at the records that the Attorney General mentioned, he said these are the records that they were able to compile from the department, the Ferguson Police Department, and that they were essentially using black people, violations against black people to fund the city coffers. That's
government.
The allegation.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Scott, your thoughts?
Yeah, you know, I think what's startling about the report is the very breadth and depth of the report. I don't think we'd have this kind of report if the U.S. attorney wasn't Eric Holder. Secondly, it's interesting that they were able to uncover all of this after 100 days of being there. And what is more concerning on my part is this is what they uncovered. What didn't they uncover? Mm. Because I would think if you knew DOJ was coming, there probably were several documents that were or could have been removed that may have been even more damning. So,
or misremembered.
Or misremembered, if you will. And then lastly, you know, it confirms the suspicions of many of us in communities of color and confirms the foundation of our relationship with the police based on our experiences. That is, that people of color have a very different view of the police because of their interactions. And now you have several young black men around the country for years have said they were stopped for being black, they were abused by the police, and now you have a very legitimate DOJ report in Ferguson. It's not in every jurisdiction, but if you read that report, they've got these agreements and this research in regard to the police community, police relationship to black communities in several other jurisdictions, New Orleans and others, and they're uncovering similar issues. It is a pervasive issue that not only we have to talk about, but we have to do something about it.
And
so the real work is going to come after this report. What is this country prepared to do about the police and its relationship to color, to people in communities of color? But two, what is this country prepared to do from a dialogue standpoint and be brave about having these discussions of resolution?
Yeah, it's kind of spooky, too, when you have the police and the city court, the report says, where the court issued more than 9,000 arrest warrants for parking tickets. Really?
Yeah.
I don't even think New York is that tough, is it? You've been a prosecutor in New York.
I didn't have a car when I was in New York.
Okay.
There you go.
But if I did.
Well, of course not. There you go. I need to take a break. When we come back, we're going to go to the phone lines. Lots of people want to get in on this discussion, and we will also be hearing more from the press conference held today by Attorney General Eric Holder. If you can't get through, please keep trying. I promise I will take your calls at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Outside of the D.C. calling area, 855-288-4876. We'll be back in a moment.
Once the system is primed for maximizing revenue, starting with fines and fine enforcement, the city relies on the police force to serve essentially as a collection agency for the municipal court, rather than as a law enforcement entity focused primarily on maintaining and promoting public safety.
Welcome back to the Daily Drum on WHUR. And Sirius XM Channel 141, I'm Harold Fisher. We're discussing the Department of Justice report on the Ferguson, Missouri Police Department. My guests are criminal defense attorney A. Scott Bolden and Washington Times columnist Deborah Simmons. Lines are open at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Outside of the D.C. calling area, 855-288-4876, 855-288-4876. Walter calling from Prince George's County. Thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Hey, Harold, how you doing?
I'm fine. Go ahead, right ahead.
Good. Yeah, I'm just excited about the findings of the Attorney General, knowing that this is a widespread problem that we have in the black area. I recently was stopped by the police officer, who didn't violate no traffic laws at all. And when I asked him four times why did he stop me, he could not tell me. And then I asked for his supervisor to come on the scene. He said, I'm stopping you because of an air freshener. And he gave me like three tickets. He had no reason to stop me whatsoever. And so I'm happy about the findings, the investigation that went forth. Because this is racial profiling. It was a white officer. He got behind me, ran my tags, couldn't find no violation there. Came up beside me, I had my seatbelt on. He didn't find no violation there. So as I proceeded through the light, he decided he wanted to stop me anyway.
Mm-hmm.
And this is normally they give tickets out around the first and the end of the month.
Yeah. Well, Walter, thank you for your phone call. And here's the other piece about this. Briefly, Scott. should, you know, we say this is a wake-up call for America, but in hearing some of the details of what is happening in Ferguson, Missouri, and I certainly, it gives me pause, even as a reporter, having, you know, been there and not aware of these things when I was there. But, you know, when you hear these kinds of things, and like this man said, and even in Prince George's County, does it also make you a little nervous?
Well, absolutely. I've had my own experiences with the police, notwithstanding me being a criminal defense lawyer. And I'll be honest with you. The police, for your listeners, are life changers. Okay? They operate under the color of law. They have a gun, a badge. They can have a taser. They can have a shotgun. They can have weapons. And they have the license to use them. Whatever dispute, whatever reason you're stopped and your caller was stopped and seemed to cooperate, that's the best advice you can give. Because that encounter with the police, quite frankly, you want to get it over as fast as possible. You know why? Because he can arrest you. He can detain you. He can, if it escalates, he can beat you. And quite frankly, it could escalate worse, as we've seen more recent times, where it could cost you your life. I'm not blaming the police or blaming the defendant. What I'm saying is that these are life-changing experiences that you have to take seriously when you engage the police or the police engage you. Your recourse, whether they do something wrong or not, has got to come after that stop. It will not come on the stop. You cannot fight them and you cannot talk them out of this.
Oh, wow.
But afterwards, you can get a lawyer. You have no right to resist arrest. You have no right to really argue. You do have a First Amendment right. But in many cases, if you're stopped and you exercise your First Amendment, they can write you tickets or, better yet, lock you up for disorderly conduct. We've heard of all those stories. And so your recourse has got to be after that stop.
Deborah, real quick before I go to another break, what's the thing that has really surprised you about this report?
The thing that really surprised is the money issue, number one, what the courts are doing, number two, to make it happen, and the dog situation where they're sicking dogs on people, not unlike what we saw in the movie Selma. Not unlike any movie we've seen of the civil rights era back in the 50s and the 60s. Nothing like that. I mean, I don't remember seeing any of that here when the rioting was going on, but I don't doubt that it happened. And that's the thing that we have to remember and act on. I think we need to do something more than just go to the polls. It's obvious that in some places, and Missouri is one of those places, some laws need to be changed.
We're going to talk about that on the other side of the break. So if you're on the phone, that includes Eve, George, Nedra, Jeff, Christy. Please do not hang up. We will take your calls after the break. The Daily Drum will continue on SiriusXM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. Jeff Brown is next with the original Quiet Storm on 96.3 WHUR. More of this conversation on the DOJ report on Ferguson, Missouri policing. We'll be back in a moment.